Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming to the talk. There's quite a few of you out there, so I really appreciate that. I'm Javen Richards from Oklahoma State, as Dr. Vigil said, and today we're going to talk about the effect of phosphorus fertilizer on micronutrient availability. So why study micronutrients? First of all, the micronutrients are boron, copper, iron, manganese, molybdenum, and zinc, and also chloride, but we didn't study chloride in this because any chloride deficiencies are easily fixed by adding KCl. So Adriano reported a lot of deficiencies of micronutrients in many states across the U.S. So how can phosphorus fertilization affect micronutrient availability? Inorganic phosphorus fertilizers, they may contain micronutrients as impurities, which could add micronutrients to the soil, and this could lead to an increase in micronutrient availability. However, long-term application of phosphorus could increase phosphorus levels in soil, and it could decrease micronutrient availability through precipitation. Okay, and the other source we looked at was organic phosphorus sources. And we looked at two types of animal manure, beef and swine effluent. And they're excellent sources of plant nutrients. And we also looked at biosolids or sewage sludge. So the objective was to investigate the effects of different fertilizer sources on plant micronutrient availability. The analysis we conducted, I collected soil samples 0 to 15 centimeters deep. We analyzed them with DTPA sorbitol, which many testing labs have adopted and is believed to be correlated to plant availability. We also analyzed the total elements in soil with EPA Method 3050B, which is a nitric digestion with hydrogen peroxide and hydrochloric acid. And then we thought about what other soil factors could affect the micronutrient availability. So we also analyzed the pH of all the soils and the organic matter in the manure soils. We assumed that the organic matter was the same for the inorganic since we weren't adding any organic matter. So our experimental sites and treatments, we had three long-term applications of inorganic phosphorus and three long-term application of organic amendments. And first, we're going to talk about the inorganic phosphorus sites. So this is a summary of the three inorganic phosphorus sites. As you can see, they were all established around 1970. They have varying phosphorus rates as well as nitrogen and potassium rates, so we only compared within site. We didn't compare among sites. And cotton was grown in Altus, while continuous winter wheat was grown at the Lahoma and Stillwater sites. So here's the sum results from the inorganic phosphorus sites. This is the annual P rate and the DTPA extractable micronutrient. This shows the treatment differences. So the same letter in the same column means there was no difference. So for this is the Altus site. As you can see, boron decreased slightly, iron increased, and also zinc increased. But as you'll notice, they are statistically significant, but they're very small increases. So to view this another way, we regress them. The x-axis is the cumulative phosphorus applied over the entire 30-year period, and the y-axis would be the DTPA extractable nutrient. This one's boron, iron, and zinc. These are just the significant relationships. So as you can see, the boron significantly decreased. We didn't see that in any of the other sites. And as you, if you'll notice, there's a large amount of variability between the field reps. So this could be what's causing that decrease. And this is a R-squared value of 0.1. So, however, the iron did show an increase as well as the zinc. So this is a correlation table for those. As you can see, at the 0.05 level, they are all correlated to the total phosphorus in soil that was with the acid digestion. And boron and iron were correlated with pH, while zinc was not. And the one thing to notice is none of them were correlated with their total element in soil, which would lead us to believe it was not an increase. There wasn't an addition of micronutrients through impurities. So this is a summary of the Lahoma site. I won't show graphs for it or the Stillwater site, but it's somewhat different in that boron had no significant change. Copper increased in this one, whereas it didn't in the Alta site, and iron increased similar to the Alta site. Okay, and this is the Stillwater site. It was also different from the other two. There was no change in any of the micronutrients. No significant change. Okay, so a summary of the inorganic phosphorus sites. The effect on DTPA micronutrients from additions of phosphorus was varied between the sites. Altus, the iron and zinc increased, while Lahoma, the copper and iron increased, and Stillwater, there was no differences. And even these increases were relatively small. So the long-term application of phosphorus did not reduce the DTPA micronutrient levels, and the DTPA extractable micronutrients were not correlated with the total micronutrients, which would imply that there's not an addition of micronutrients through the fertilizer. So now on to the organic phosphorus sites. We had three of these as well. Biosolids and the beef and swine manure were at the same site in Guymon, Oklahoma. Winter wheat was grown on the biosolids plots, while continuous corn was grown on the other two sites. And as you can see, they're much younger than the inorganic phosphorus sites. So here's the same table we've been looking at, the treatment differences. This is the biosolids application. And everything but boron and manganese showed an increase, and a much larger increase when compared to the inorganic phosphorus sites. So to look at the graphs, I just showed copper. The other elements followed the same relationship. Here's the same graph that we looked at earlier. This would be cumulative phosphorus applied and the DTPA extractable copper. And this is the total copper on the x-axis that we used through the soil digestion, and DTPA extractable copper. And so as you can see, they have the same relationship, and they're both highly significant. And here's the correlation table. As you can see, the other elements followed this suit as well, except for iron, which there was so much iron in the soil, we were adding iron, but it didn't significantly change the total iron level. So I believe that's why this one is not correlated. They're also correlated with the total phosphorus. However, if we're adding phosphorus, that's coming from the biosolids that we're adding, and that's metals are also being added. So that's why they show a similar relationship. And they're all also highly correlated with the organic matter. So for the beef manure and Guymon, every element significantly increased, which just shows the difference perhaps between manure types and the swine effluent in Guymon also. And everything increased except for iron and manganese. So in summary of the organic phosphorus sites, the effect on the DTPA extractable micronutrients was more pronounced than the inorganic sites. The ones that increased by a much larger amount. And most of the elements correlated well between sites, which ones increased and which ones did not. The DTPA extractable micronutrients were well correlated with total micronutrients, except in the case of iron, which would lead us to believe that it's the addition of the micronutrients that's increasing the availability. It's nothing that the phosphorus itself is doing. And the nutrient addition from the organic amendments increased the micronutrient availability. The soil test phosphorus was increased, but the micronutrient availability was not decreased. So I'd like to thank Dr. Zong, my major advisor, my committee members, Dr. Penn and Dr. Ding, and also Dr. Schroeder, who helped me a lot with my lab work, Dr. Ron, who let me use his facilities, Yumiko Konki and Travis Conley for sampling with me and helping me out. With that, I'll be happy to take any questions you might have.
We have time for about 3 minutes. So.
Yes, sir.
You listed that protocol within that DTPA.
Yes, sir.
And then I didn't see that anymore, but
right.
I assume that it was all of that.
Yes, sir. It was all the same. The sorbitol is to extract boron. So.
I have a question.
Yeah.
At Guymon and sites.
Right.
Are the zinc and copper and iron commonly applied, or is there a need for those to commonly show up as efficient?
In the Guymon soils, it's in the panhandle of Oklahoma, and those are very high pH soils. So a lot of times the micronutrient availability is low, and sometimes they apply foliarly or however. So yes. Yes, sir.
The Stillwater site, was that the Magruder plot?
No, sir. I sampled the Magruder plots, but I didn't include them in this. Their treatment structure, it's so old that they don't have replications, and I would only have, 1 year of data, so I couldn't even compare them between years. But yes, but we're going to look into that also. Yes?
Your two panhandle sites, Guymon and Altus, I know one, Guymon, you had the manure, and then Altus was fertilizer, but
right.
There's quite a difference in iron.
Right.
The iron is surprisingly high at Altus.
Right.
But it was still around slightly below the critical level, 3 or so. Guymon, how would you explain the overall difference in iron between two sites, Altus?
That could be because I believe the pH decreased significantly in this Alta site and not in the Guymon site. And I think that might be part of it. And also perhaps where the relationship, there might have been more an increase in total iron at the manure sites in Guymon. I didn't look into that a whole lot, but I will. Okay. Right, or point two. Okay. Right, it's right around. Right.
In West Texas, we usually see iron and zinc go together.
Right. Right. I'm, and I don't really know why that is. I'll look into it. Sorry. Thank you very much.